Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown, bringing you the latest insights from corporate America's quarterly results. I'm Alex, and I'm joined by my co-host Jordan. Today, we're diving into T-Mobile's first quarter 2026 earnings call. And folks, this was quite a performance from the Uncarrier. Before we get started, I need to share an important disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Alex. And wow, T-Mobile really came out swinging this quarter. Let's start with the headline numbers because they're pretty impressive. Service revenue grew 11% year over year. That's four times faster than their closest competitor. But what really caught my eye was their customer satisfaction score, or NPS. Hitting 45, that's over 20% higher than their nearest rival.
That NPS number is huge, Jordan. It really speaks to their strategy of providing best network, best value, and best experience, all in one package. CEO Srinivasan Gopalan kept hammering this point that customers don't need to make trade-offs anymore with T-Mobile. And the numbers back it up. They added 217,000 postpaid net accounts, up 6% year over year, while also growing their average revenue per account by 3.9%.
Exactly. That's the holy grail growing, both customer volume and revenue per customer. Speaking of growth, their broadband business continues to be a monster. They added over 500,000 broadband customers this quarter and called themselves the fastest growing ISP in America, yet again. They're targeting 15 million broadband customers by 2030. And here's the kicker. That projection assumes they don't buy any more spectrum and doesn't factor in 6G improvements.
The broadband story is fascinating because they're using what they call fallow capacity on their 5G network. Essentially, they've built this massive network infrastructure, and during off-peak times, they can sell that unused capacity as home internet service. It's brilliant from a capital efficiency standpoint. But Jordan, I think the most intriguing part of this call was their discussion about AI and what they're calling physical AI. They announced a partnership with Figure AI to connect humanoid robots to their 5G advanced network.
This is where things get really futuristic, Alex. T-Mobile is positioning itself at the intersection of AI and connectivity. They talked about building AI capabilities directly into their network core, and they're already beta testing something called live translation that can translate your voice into 80 different languages in real time. But the physical AI angle is what has me excited. They see a world where their network becomes the backbone for robotics and automation.
The key insight from Network Chief John Saw was that T-Mobile built their 5G advanced network specifically with this future in mind. They have innovations like uplink transmit switching and higher transmit power that give them advantages for these AI applications. It's not just about faster phones. They're thinking about robots, autonomous systems, and edge computing.
And that brings us to their guidance updates. CFO Peter Osvaldik raised several key metrics. They're now expecting 950,000 to 1.05 million total postpaid net account additions for the full year, up from previous guidance. Core adjusted EBITDA guidance went up by $100 million at the low end to $37.1 to $37.5 billion. Free cash flow guidance also increased by $100 million to $18.1 to $18.7 billion.
Those guidance raises show real confidence in the business momentum. But what really caught investors' attention was the announcement that they're increasing their shareholder return authorization by $3.6 billion to a total of $18.2 billion. They returned $6 billion to shareholders in first quarter alone through dividends and buybacks. Now, Jordan, let's talk about some of the strategic moves. They announced two new fiber joint ventures to acquire GoNetSpeed, Greenlight Networks, and i3 Broadband. This is part of their capital-efficient approach to expanding their fiber footprint.
Right, and Gopalan was very clear about their fiber strategy. They're not chasing random homes passed numbers. They want local scale in specific geographies where they can create real equity value with double-digit IRRs. They're partnering with infrastructure experts who know how to build efficiently in each market, while T-Mobile brings the national brand and retail expertise. One analyst asked about potentially doing larger cable deals, and Gopalan shut that down pretty definitively. He said they see their strength as attacking incumbents rather than becoming an incumbent.
That's such a T-Mobile answer. They've always positioned themselves as the disruptor. Speaking of disruption, there was an interesting exchange about competition. When asked about the promotional environment, Gopalan said January was particularly competitive with heavy handset subsidies, but February and March cooled down. Their view is that lasting differentiation comes from network quality, value, and experience, not just promotional pricing.
The churn discussion was particularly insightful too. They introduced a new metric, postpaid account churn, which is higher than their traditional line churn because it includes broadband-only customers who structurally churn more and newer customers who haven't built deep relationships yet. But the underlying phone churn was stable, up just 3 basis points.
Before we wrap up, let's talk about what this all means for investors. T-Mobile is executing on multiple growth vectors simultaneously: traditional wireless, broadband, fiber partnerships, business services, and now positioning for the AI revolution. Their financial metrics are industry-leading across revenue growth, EBITDA growth, and free cash flow generation.
The risk, of course, is execution complexity. They're managing multiple fiber joint ventures, integrating the U.S. cellular acquisition, building AI capabilities, and competing across numerous markets. But their track record and these first quarter results suggest they're handling that complexity well. What's particularly compelling is their positioning for future technology cycles. While competitors are focused on today's wireless market, T-Mobile is building infrastructure for tomorrow's AI-powered world. That forward-thinking approach has served them well historically.
Looking ahead, investors should watch their broadband growth trajectory, the integration of their new fiber assets, and early developments in their AI initiatives. The guidance raises show confidence, but the real test will be maintaining this growth momentum as the market evolves.
Before we sign off, I need to share our closing disclaimer. Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
That's a wrap on T-Mobile's first quarter 2026 earnings. The Un-carrier continues to live up to its reputation as a growth and innovation leader. Thanks for joining us on Beta Finch, and we'll see you next time for another AI-powered earnings breakdown. That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.